Glory, glory. As I was spending time with the Lord this afternoon, I really believe he has given me a word for you tonight. I really believe that. And I hope I don't tarry long. I just want to do what the Lord says to do. Amen. Is that okay tonight? I don't even want you to worry about going to your Bibles. I'll just go there right now. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 13. I'm going to start it. And it says, "And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not for not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Can I say that's what we had in here tonight? We didn't have musicians. We had minstrels in this house tonight. Come on, not just on the organ and the keyboard and the drums, but our voices were as a minstrel as well. Amen. And it said, "And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." Verse 16 says, "And he said, Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches." I just want to take a few moments to say, start digging. Start digging. Amen. Start digging. Hallelujah. Brother Mike, I could get you a couple of helpers real quick. I believe that it is time for Augusta to start digging. I believe that it's time for New Life Tabernacle. It's time we start digging, church. It's time. We don't need to wait. We need to start digging. Well, some of you believe it tonight. I'm here to tell you, thus saith the Lord. Pastor, it's time to start digging. Lord, I ask that you touch us tonight. Let our faith, Lord, let it rise. Let it elevate to another place. God, let our hearts and our minds be open. God, we have come and we have asked you to touch us tonight, God, through our worship and through our praise. But now, Lord, we are needing you to touch us through your word. We're needing you to touch us through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, through your word tonight, God. Oh, I can't do it on my own, God. It's going to take you in this house. But I believe, Lord, you have something special for this last Sunday of the year. Oh, the last Sunday of the year of 2025. Oh, as you have asked your church and your people to just start digging. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're going to help me preach, you may be seated in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Just start digging. This was at a time when King Jeroboam was the king over Israel in Moab. There was a king called Misha. And Misha and Jehoram, excuse me, were friends. And it shows us that he even gifted the Israelites 100,000 sheep and rams. And Jehoram's father Ahab died, and Misha began to act differently against his friend. And he came against Jehoram. So Jehoram went to Judah. He went to speak to King Jeroboam. And he said, "Hey, look, I've got a situation that I'm dealing with. I've got a problem, and see, Misha has rose up against me. The one who I thought was my friend, my ally, only had an agenda, and he's coming against me. So I'm here to ask you, will you fight by my side with me?" Jeroboam responded with, "I will go to battle with you." He was basically saying, "My army is your armies. My resources will be your resources, and your enemies will be my enemies. I will stand against you and or stand with you against the rebellion of Moab." And along the way, we see where the king of Edom joined with the men. So these three kings joined together and against the Moabites and King Misha. And as they began to strategize of how to defeat their common enemy, part of their strategy was to set a course for a seven-day journey into the wilderness, into the desert, if you will. So they gathered their armies together. They gathered their weapons together. And they started heading out into the desert. Now, when planning to take a journey into the wilderness, you have to make sure you have some vital necessities. Amen. Tents, check. We've got our swords, check. We've got our shields, our bows, and our armor, check. But somewhere through this checklist, something was left out that was very essential, and it was vital. It's the very thing that every creature needs to survive, and without it, you will perish. The vital element is two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. I'm talking about water tonight. We all have to have water. And at some point during the 7-day journey, they realized their strategy against the opposition was so intensified that they did not strategize what they would need to keep them alive. If you're not careful, you can focus on the issue and not on what can obtain you through it or what gives you victory over it. Amen. We've got to be careful to where we don't focus on the opposition so much as what will help us to survive us through the victory. So now they're in a situation where their armies are without the very thing that would give them strength, the very thing that could keep them going. The armies began to get discouraged. And one king questioned if the Lord had led these three kings into the wilderness to be defeated by Moab. Could it be God punishing us? Our ignorance, if we're not careful, our ignorance by forgetting the essentials, and then we say it's God warning us. It's God who may be punishing us and why we're going through these things whenever really we got in such a rush, we forgot the vital things we needed. We forgot our daily prayer life. We forgot about our daily reading of the Word. We forgot about the things that keeps our spirit refreshed. Amen. But then Jehoshaphat spoke up and said, is there a man of God among us? Is there any man of God among us? And a servant of King Jehoshaphat said, hey, remember that time when that young prophet poured water on the hands of Elisha? And so they inquired about Elisha and went to him. I think it's important to point out that these kings, these royal men, did not say, we beckon him unto us. No, because there was a desperation to say, hey, let's just go find him. We don't need to just send the servants. We need to go ourselves. We need to find out where this prophet is, where this man of God is. But we see where Elisha said, I'm only regarding the question you're asking because I'm in the presence of Jeroboam. I'm in the presence of King of Judah. He didn't want to waste his time on wicked kings. So because of, thankfully, Jeroboam being there, Elisha said, okay, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. Now, I'm here to tell you that a minstrel is more than a musician, but it's someone who knows how to flow with the anointing of the Holy Ghost as we've witnessed here tonight. Amen. And as you've witnessed here many of times in your services, I'm not here to give fluff to any of the musicians or the worship leaders. I'm here to tell you, though, stay in the anointing that God gives you. Come on, minstrels don't make it about making the sound just perfect and good. It's not about spending hours and hours and hours and trying to make the music just right to get others' approvals. But the minstrel shows up with a sacrifice, amen, to make sure that the anointing and the flow of God is within it. So Elisha was saying, before God moves through me, I'm going to entertain his presence around me. He said, before I ask God to do anything for you, we're going to do something for him. Amen. And that's the display that happened here tonight. Before God decided to give you a little word of encouragement and faith tonight, we decided that, hey, God, before you do that, we just want you to know we love you. We're here to worship you. We're here to praise you. We're here to give honor where honor is due. Amen. So as they began to play the music, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet. And he said, the word of God is this, fill the valley full of ditches. In other words, saints, he was saying, pick up your shovels. Start digging. It's time to start working. It's time to get to work. Now, this is not what the children of Israel, this is not what they wanted to hear. They knew that their God not too long ago was able to take the children of Israel that was in the wilderness, and they could wake up wipe their sleep out of their eyes, put on their sandals, and just walk outside and pick up fresh manna from heaven. Well, God, why can't you answer my prayer that way? Why? Why do I have to start working for the miracle, the very thing that we need to defeat your enemies? Why are you making me put my hand to the shovel and start to work? But God, it's hot out here. God, I'm dehydrated. God, I don't even have the wetness in my mouth to even swallow. And you're telling us that we have to work? What's the point? Well, if you're wanting water, then you're going to have to start creating a place for the water to flow. Amen. The Bible said that faith without works is dead. God was telling them in the moment through a man of God, a prophet, if you know I'm able, then why don't you let your action conquer your doubt and your hesitation? Start putting a little work behind the faith. Start putting the action into motion. And if you want water to flow or to fall, then create a place for it to gather at. God said, if you work, then I'll work. Sometimes we got to put a little work into action. You got faith in this house that God can rain down miracles in your life? Then you need to break out the umbrella before the rain starts falling. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you need to put on the parka before the storm clouds even start showing up, before the thunder starts to clap. Lightning. I'm preaching to somebody in this house tonight. It's time to regain your faith and start digging again. Grab a shovel now and start preparing. Start digging for the miracle that you're believing God to do. Is there anybody who came in the house expecting tonight for God to do something through his word, a revelation from him? Then grab a shovel and start digging. Let there be a place for the miracles to fall into. Come on, don't just say, God, I'm tired of praying about it. God, I'm weary. My body's sore. No, 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 no. Pick up the shovel and start digging. Yes. Maybe seated. But let me ask you, how many here has actually had to dig before? Raise your hand. I'm not talking just a little toy shovel at the beach. I'm talking about real digging. It ain't fun. Amen. Digging is one of the hardest things, in my opinion, you got to do. It uses almost every muscle in your body. Come on, it's not just moving a little dirt. It's really digging. Your back starts hurting. Your hamstrings, the back of your legs, they start hurting. Your knees start hurting. You feel the effects from digging. You can start to create blisters on your hands from digging. Scoop after scoop, you realize it's not just dirt. You run into some roots. You'll run into some rocks. The plan doesn't always happen the way you want it to. Sometimes you shovel down and you hit clay and it's not soft. It's hard clay. Sometimes your answer to prayer doesn't look like what you think it should look like. Sometimes your miracle doesn't come when you expect it to, when you think it should come. Sometimes the answer doesn't come in the form of God waving that magic wand again like we talked about in the past. Sometimes we just need God to move the mountain. He says, okay, then grab a shovel and start digging. But God, I just thought I could just say a prayer to you and you would just allow it to appear, the miracle I need, the blessing I need, the healing I need. Well, if you have the faith for God to do it, you should have the faith to God to work for it. Amen? Seek, ye shall find. That's digging. Knocking, that's digging. We've got to start digging again, saints. So there they are. They started digging ditches in the middle of the desert. Come on, the deserts are not a cold place. It's hot. That sun beats down on you. I could just imagine sweat beating down, marching for miles and miles to realize there's no more water. There's nothing to drink. My Lord, how did we plan everything but the very thing we need to survive? We're here in the desert. So they're digging ditches in the middle of the desert. Thirsty. Come on, there's no grocery store. There's no Walmart to go pick up some water. There's no Casey's General Store where you can swing in and get that ice cold refreshing drink, whatever your favorite drink is during a hot day. Life can be that way in our struggles. We start to dig away like God told us to, but the holes keep filling back up. You ever got in sand and tried to dig in sand? That first scoop, what happens? As soon as the sand just fills it right back up. It's like you didn't even touch the ground. But that's what it can be like sometimes. But if we just keep doing like God said and just keep digging, the hole will start to take form before you know it. And what once was just the ground with sand turns into a well for not just him to fill it. He had a hit for him to fulfill this promise. Come on, he's not just asking you to put work in just to fill what you're wanting. He's also fulfilling his word that says, I will bless you. I will. Some of them believe it, but I'm here to tell you, God, he doesn't fail you. His promises are still yea and amen. If he's the God that did, he's still the God that does today. Well, I'll say that again. If he's the God that did it for them, he's the God that'll do it for you today. Of course, the question, I can just imagine the very question. I can see it now. Prophet, man of God, I know we got to dig. I get it. And I'm not asking for me. Others are questioning you. They just want to know how long. How long do we have to dig? Well, God's got to answer to that question with a question. How big do you want your blessing to be? Whew. Oh, that one stung a little bit. But you're telling me through my tiredness and through this heat and through these blisters and through these pain that you're still wanting me to dig. Yes, I'm still wanting you to dig. Brother Michael, read verse 16 for me.
And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches.
So not just part of the valley. Not just three or four holes each. And then you can take a break and relax and try to find an oasis somewhere. You all keep digging until the whole valley is full of ditches. Keep going.
For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts.
All right, hold on just a minute. Man of God is just telling us now. Can you believe this? The nerve of this man of God telling us that in this heat and through this exhaustion, he's wanting us not only to take this, but now he's telling us, oh, while you're digging, it's still going to stay hot. While you're digging, you're not going to see one cloud in the sky. You still have to dig. You still have to take the shovel and break your back a little bit more. Burn them legs a little bit more. Add a couple of more blisters to that hand, and you're still going to have to dig. How dare that man of God come up? How dare a man of God come and preach something I don't want to hear? How dare a pastor come up here and try to give me scriptural to save my soul? How dare he tell me I have to work? I've got to work. He said, I'm not going to see clouds. I'm not going to see rain. There's times you're going to have to work even though there's no sign of showing of the end. You just got to start digging and keep digging. I don't see a cloud, Brother Ward. Hey, it's okay. Just start digging and keep digging. There's no sound of thunder, Brother Ward. Hey, I'm just telling you what the man of God said. Just pick up that shovel and start digging and don't stop. You keep on digging. You hold on to that shovel. I know it hurts. I know there's a little bit of pain in your hands, but I know the hands are getting raw, but just keep on digging. Don't stop. There's no lightning. Oh, just keep digging. The temperature in the air, it's not getting any cooler. It's getting hotter, Brother Micah. That's okay. You grab that shovel and you keep on digging and just keep on digging. I know the sand is trying to fill in the holes, but something will come about if you just keep on. Oh, I don't smell the rain. I don't feel the wind. God is wanting you to know, to ask you if you will still dig when there's no signs of following the promise. When it's hot and there's no water, will you still dig? When there's no evidence that he's stepping into your situation, will you keep digging ditches like he told you to do? Don't let what you see make you forget what the Lord said. Just keep digging. You're not going to see signs of the miracles. You're not going to know that they're coming your way. But he said one thing, I will come through for you. Just make a place for him to fall into. My God, lift up your hands right now. Come on, church. I know it's easy to dig when you see the blessings are coming. I know that the breakthrough, when you see it's on the way, it's easy. But God is asking you today, can you keep digging? Not because you can see the evidence of what's coming, because just to dig because you will deliver on his word. I know the blisters hurt. I know the back is aching. You've dug your 100th hole and you've prayed 1,000 times. And yet you have not seen the promise come to pass. I know some of you, the bills could be piling up. I know some of you are still waiting on a healing. But God said, you keep digging. I know there's no Gatorade in the future spiritually. Will you still keep digging? Will you still keep holding on to the promise of God? Even though there's no sign of rest, will you keep digging? Brother Micah, read verse 18. Just verse 18.
And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand.
Man, this is a light thing. This ain't going to break God's sweat. Your problem ain't going to break God's sweat. Your issue, it ain't going to break God's sweat. Your financial need, that ain't going to break God's sweat. That ain't nothing to him. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That ain't nothing to him. He owns everything on this. It belongs to him anyway. You think your need is so big that it's bigger than our God? No. I'm here to tell you he's greater than any opposition. He's greater than any enemy. He's bigger than any mountain. All you got to do is say, move, mountain. Yeah, he may throw a shovel in your hand, but as long as you start digging at it, don't tell me that mountain won't move. I'm here to tell you he's ready for you to start digging so he can fill up. So he can start filling up the miracles again. So he can start bringing in the people again. Just keep on digging. I know it's cold outside, but you still got to be a witness. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you got to do it. You've got to witness. If it's at your job, if it's at the grocery store, if you knock on your neighbor's door, you just got to keep on digging. Dig, dig, dig. So they filled that whole valley with ditches. They completed the task. Tired, lightheaded, dizzy. And after they dug those ditches and sat back, you know what happened then? Nothing. Elder Worth, they dug all them ditches. We did our part, God. They're not full. Where's the miracle? Oh, I need something to wash my hands off with. I need something to quench my thirst, Lord. Where's the miracle? What happens when you fulfilled your end of the bargain and your ditches are still dry and empty? What's your response then? I've done my part. What happens when you're standing there holding a shovel in a dry ditch? Will you still trust him? Oh, my God. Can you still hold on to that shovel knowing that it's that ditch you dug isn't full? Can you still praise God in that ditch when time and time again your pastor has given you an encouragement word? Don't give up. Come on, we've got to keep pressing forward. There is revival here in Augusta. There's revival in Andover. There's revival all around here. Come on, church, we can't give up. Just keep digging. I know that person that you've been praying for isn't here yet, but will you still trust the Lord? Just keep digging. Don't stop. We're too close here to the finish line. Now, can you just get another scoop? Come on, the valley has still got some places that have some places to make some ditches at. Will you just dig one more for me? Can you dig one more for me? Can you find the strength? God is trying to tell some people the promises are here. They're here, but he needs you to start digging the ditches to fill them up with. How dare that prophet, how dare that man of God, Brother Micah, tell us to dig ditches, and here we are, tired, sore, the sun is setting. We have nothing to show for it. The Moabites are going to kill us. They're going to think the sun has driven us insane with all these holes in the valley. I could just imagine they went to bed that night sore and thirsty and tired, confused, feeling defeated. I trusted a man of God. And he said, but there's still no answered prayer. I can imagine and see someone get up in the morning looking for dew on the ground. Maybe I can just try to get a little of wetness off the sand. Maybe that little bit of brush may have a little bit of morning dew on it. Going over there, shaking it a little. Nothing. Oh. I don't want to test my faith, but let me see this ditch that I dug. Oh. It's still dry. It's still dusty. It's still empty. Promises. Oh. And I can just imagine it's... If it was today and today, man, I can just imagine. Stand up, brother. I can just imagine. We step out of that tent. Watch out for that hole there. Step over that hole. Oh, there's another empty promise that pastor preached. I'm stepping on the toes right now. Let's step over this one, too. There was one on monetary issues where God was going to fill our bank accounts. Here's one right here. Said my healing was us just on the way. Well, I ain't seen it yet. I'll step over this one too. Man, I'm about ready to cuss out that prophet. Oh, man. If I wasn't apostolic, let me tell you what. I would tell him what. Make sure he's not. I would tell him what's about right now and let him have it. Bless his heart. I think I'm going to. I think I'm going to go say something to him that he missed the mark once again. So I'm going to go tell him. If you ain't telling him, I'm mad. I'm going to go tell him. So I step over this hole, and I can just imagine that guy with me is going to grab me and say, nope, don't do it. Come on, you got to have some conviction, brother. Come on.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Oh. Here, hold that. Hold me back. Hold me back. I'm ready to tell him off. But you know what? I can see that buddy, that digging buddy, to say to that person who's frustrated and tired and feels like we're just going to perish. I can almost hear him say, hey, it's almost time for church.
It's almost time for church.
All right. So why don't we just go to church first? It's time to give the sacrifice. Why don't we do that first? Thank you, brother. Why don't we do that first? And then if you still feel the same way, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll even help you out. Maybe I'll be feeling the same way. Verse 20, Brother Micah.
Y'all didn't probably hear him, but I heard that. We'll leave that between us. Go ahead, Brother Micah.
And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered.
Okay.
That behold, there came water by the way of Edom.
Right there, hold on. So here they are coming to the meat offering. And I can just imagine someone saying, like my young brother illustrated, don't go yet. Let's just go to church. Let's just see what happens. Meat offering, that was at 9 o'clock in the morning. Aren't y'all glad you don't get here at 9? Bless the Lord. Y'all did the right thing by not saying nothing. I had some church say, amen, that's right, brother. Y'all be seeing pastor in the office after church. But why don't we just go at 9? Why don't we just cast our cares on him for a moment? Why don't we take our mind off of this and at least let's get around some other people. Maybe it'll make us feel good. And this is thus saith the Lord, not the Lord, okay? Just hear me for a moment. But I can just imagine if it was a day like today, morning sacrifice involved singing, music, and dancing. I can just imagine him getting up there and dance like he did it, shout like he did it. Dance like, I don't want to dance like he did it because he ain't done nothing. It's still dry and dusty. Just sing.
Dance like he did it. Shout like he did it.
Dance like he did it. Then I can just hear him saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord. He ain't done nothing yet. What are you talking about? It's truth. Come on. We expect to give praise after the victory and not before the victory. We want to thank him for what he's already done, not what have enough faith to praise him for what he's going to do. So here we are, our half clap. Then all of a sudden I can hear it roll back Jordan, part Red Seas, fall down Jericho, you can't stop me. Sing it, all right, roll back Jordan, part Red Seas. Fall down, Jericho, you can't stand. And then all of a sudden, there was a little pep in his step. Something started happening like it happened here tonight. Roll back, Jordan. Part Red Seas. Fall down, Jericho, you can't stop me. And somewhere in the midst of church service, if you will, there was a revelation and things shifted in the spiritual. And while they stood in the midst of dry ditches, they began to believe what they were singing about. They began to believe about the meat offering once again. And I'm here to tell you that before they seen it, they started declaring it. And can you keep digging off of promise? When the ditches are dry, can you still keep preparing for your miracle? Can you dig off his word and off your praise? Can you dance in a dry ditch today? Anybody can dance when the rain is coming. Anybody can be renewed when they feel it falling down on them. Blessings when they're flowing. But can you still give God praise when it's dry? And all of a sudden they began to believe what they were singing and what they were dealing with, and it came to pass that water came by the way of Eden, and the country was filled with water. Somebody needs to grab a hold of a shovel tonight. I said somebody needs to grab a hold of a shovel tonight, and you should start need to mocking the digging process right now. Whatever you're needing God to do, somebody needs to step out in faith and grab a shovel right now and say, okay, God, this word is for me. I'm going to start digging the ditch of what you promised so long ago. Come on, I'm about done. To you now. Do you receive the word tonight? Come on, where is your healing? Where is your miracle? Dig the ditch for it right now. Somebody needs to start digging. Brother Micah, show them how to dig. Show them how to dig tonight. You're needing God to give you revelation on something, then you should start digging just like he's doing right now. Come on, you're wanting revival? Then start putting your back into it right now. God, I declare revival because you promised it to me. God, I'm declaring it right now. I'm declaring a healing right now, God. I'm declaring my healing. I'm declaring it. It's been a long time since you spoke to me and you gave me a promise that my healing was on the way. Oh, it's dry, it's still hot. I still feel like it's a barren land, but I'm going to dig. I'm going to dig until the valley is full of ditches. I'm still going to believe the promise is for me. Come on. Some of you that have been praying for years and you have testimonies, some of you need to come down here and show them how it's done. This is how you dig a ditch. This is how you keep on moving. This is how you go forward with the Lord. This is how your faith is elevated. Woo! Come on, I feel faith rising in this house. Come on, what do you need from the Lord? Start digging the ditch right now. Start working for the miracle. You want healing? Dig. Brother, you need peace at your job? Then you need to start digging. Come on, we got to fill these valleys in Augusta for 2026 full of ditches. We need lost souls to start stumbling in and falling down in them. What's this hole? Let me tell you about my hole. Let me tell you about my dry ditch that God's about to fill up. Can I just share? Can I share some ditches that I had to dig? I'm almost done. Share this with your pastor today. I loved my job in the secular world. You know why? It's because my job was to train leaders on how to train leaders. I taught them how to talk right. I taught them how to lead with motivation and not fear, how to inspire and not make others come into a toxic environment. That was my job. That's what I did. And I was good. I'm going to tell you, I was good at it. You can call it bragging. You can call it, it's confidence. I know I was good. They sent me, and my wife will tell you, they flew me to Chicago. They flew me all over the place to train, to classes, have classes to show them and just put them under a microscope and tell them that's not bad. It's worse. This is what you're doing to your team. Now let me show you the effective way to lead. I was making over six figures a year, Pastor, doing good for myself. And then God said, no more safety net. You're going into full-time ministry. Surprise! And that's why I've preached here before about the anointing and that we don't do it for the income, we do it for the outcome because God will supply. And I'm here to tell you, there have been times where I'm like, God, you promised me if you were in this, it wouldn't fail. But God, I feel like I'm getting really close to that edge and I've dug some ditches and I'm about to die. So one day I was at a service and they were doing a declaration, whatever you want to call it, about I declare jobs and better jobs and raises and checks in the mail. And when they said checks in the mail, God spoke to me, Brother Marcus, and said, it's coming for you. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, God, sure. I accept that. He goes, no, you don't. You don't hear me. A check is coming in the mail. Thank you. Okay. I mean, what do you want me to say, God? I believe you. He says, no, your mouth says you believe me, but your heart is telling me something else. So during that offering, singing, I came to an altar and I started asking God, forgive me for my lack of faith. Fix my heart. I believe it. And any place I go, if they start talking about checks in the mail, I'm going to say out loud, I receive it. And that's what I did. Now, when I got home, ran down to that mailbox real quick. I was like, that's okay, God. I still receive it. I still receive it. I'm going to believe it, Lord. I'm going to tell you, the funds started drying out. I was preaching. And the blessings came from the Lord, from His Word. But it wasn't filling my pocket. I'm just being honest with you. Adulting ain't fun, is it, brother? But there was a guy at a church, and I started talking to him. He wasn't in a church, so to speak. And I explained to him why tithing and giving sacrifice to God is important, why offering is important. And he was trying to find a church to go to. And he finally decided, I guess he decided on this one church. But before he decided there, he told the pastor, I've got a tithing check and I need to pay tithes. This evangelist showed me that it matters. And God's convicted me of it. I don't even have the Holy. God will God will take from Egypt and give to you. He won't take. I'm telling you. So that pastor said, God told me you can't give me that check because you don't go to church here. But he said, why don't you give it to that evangelist that you've been talking about? I didn't know it at the time, but this guy had a little bit more money than I realized. And he told me, he says, a check is coming to you. Maybe it'll help you a couple of weeks. I hope it can bless you. And I said, I appreciate it. God bless you. You don't have to. No. I do because God told me to. And then this pastor told me to. And when I opened that check, it was $30,600. Don't tell me that because I didn't stop digging. I kept believing. Yeah, I got tired. It got hot. I got a little spiritually dehydrated on the way, but I still picked up that shovel and I kept digging. And God said, did I not tell you that if you'd praise me through it, if you'd still serve me through it, if you would trust me through it, I would fulfill my promise. And that water started flowing, coming my way. And I'm here to tell you, it is time to start believing that the ditches will be filled with your promises from the Lord in 2026. I believe it today. Any business owners in the house? Raise your hand high if you, all right, come on up here. We're going to start right here with you. I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Praise God. All right. What do you do? Okay. No, you're okay. What do you do? Consulting firm. How many employees do you have? Why? Okay, there ain't no maybe to it because God's ready to overflow. You just need to start digging, sister. You need to, no, don't thank me, you thank Him. It's time. It is time that you start digging those ditches and believing. And all you need to do is tell the God how many employees you want to have and you start digging those ditches in the name of Jesus. How many employees do you have? How many trucks do you have? Now the question is how many do you want to have? How many employees do you want to have? How many fleet vehicles do you want to have? How many mowers? How much equipment? You two grab a shovel right now and you show God through your actions. I'm here to start digging. I'm here to start digging so I can start receiving. I'm ready to receive the promises in 2026 of what God has declared. I will no longer wait for them to come. I'm going to start working for them to come. I'm going to dig a ditch so big, so wide that God has no choice to fill it because that is His promise, church. Brother, we'll stand right there with her. God showed me something today. A very large portion. Hear me. And you watch God put it to pass. A good portion of the revival that's going to happen is going to come through the children. And he declared it to me when you got up here and you said, she needs some girls to fellowship with, not from another church, but right here. Come on, it was confirmation what God said. He hit me in the back of the head and said, what did I tell you, son? What did I tell you? Because of your toil, because of your work for the kingdom of heaven, because of the heart that you have for these children and not giving up, you are going to help children through turmoil. You're going to help children find the peace of God. You're going to help them so when they go home and they walk through the doors of their houses, their parents are going to say, what is this new smile on your face? What are you bringing in this house that I feel that is not bringing chaos and turmoil and darkness? Oh, it's bringing it out. In the name of Jesus, God, bring a deeper anointing, a deeper burden for these children, God. God, give them some discernment, if you will, if it will. Oh, these children, God, that they can love them, Lord, the way you love them. Oh, God, that whenever they go, that the very presence of the Holy Ghost radiates, God. Oh, that you can feel it through the pathways back to their home. If you cross the ways of the way they went home, you're able to feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost through it. God, do what you said you were going to do. God, they're digging ditches and they're not stopping until the valley is full. Until the valley is full of ditches.
Is this okay? Is this okay?
Brother Marcus, I'm grateful for your job. I truly am. And I experienced, as we talked after church, your excitement for that job. But God ain't gonna stop there. Mm-mm. God said, I'm glad you're willing to work 7 days a week to make some money. But you ain't gonna have to do it for long. He's gonna double your salary. And if that company does not give you the desires of your heart, of what you're trying to do for the kingdom, God's gonna open up a position and give to you in the name of Jesus. You just gotta dig that ditch deep and wide, brother. Come on, dig it deep and wide. You give more of your time than you've ever given before. You give your finances the way you've never given before. You give of your time to those who need Bible study. I know you're working long hours. I know that it can get weary. But I'm here to tell you, you are not meant. It'll take your focus on the things that matter if you're not careful. And God says, no. I've got better for somebody that loves me. I've got better for somebody that serves me. And it's not just for him. It's for you tonight too. Come on, let's lift our hands for a moment. Brother, go grab your family. Bring them down here. Brother, I've never seen anointing and a joy for the Lord the way I see whenever you give in your playing. And I'm not talking about the skill. And I'm not saying you don't have skill. You got skill. But the entire time this dude's playing, I look a little peculiar doing that, don't I? But so does he. But he's doing exactly what he was called to do, to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you this morning, it was overflowing off this pulpit of your love for God and how you just kept smiling. Oh, God, I love doing this for you. It's not about me. This is about you, God. I love worshiping you through the drums, and God is not going to forsake that. He's going to remember that in the name of Jesus. I'm about to get real. Is that okay? It's your family, so I'm going to get your permission. Is that okay? Don't worry, I ain't going to embarrass you. I won't do that. God don't embarrass people. That ain't my job. My God. But I'm going to tell you, part of your blessing, of your tooth's blessing, is her digging must be through your praise. It's got to be through your breakthrough. Just as you break the ground, God is ready for you to break out and worship him the way you were meant to. I don't know if people have told you in the past, don't shout like that. Don't you run like that. Don't you twirl like that. I'm here to tell you, you need to find your breakthrough and you need to let loose. And I'm telling you, brother, through that, she is going to help strengthen this family and take them to higher places. God is ready for you to break out and break loose again, sister. It's time for you to give up. Praise like you. I'm telling you, it needs to be like a fire that shut up in your bones. You don't even know what to do. Last time I told somebody, don't do this, but last time I told somebody that, they were doing handstands in the church. They didn't know what to do. They were so excited and feeling the love of God. I just got to do something I've never done before. And they started walking on their hands across. And I'm telling you, it wasn't a scene. It was because they were in a place where, God, I will give you everything I have through my praise and through my worship. And it's time for your family to find breakout and breakthrough again in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want you to bless this family right now. God, let them find the breakthrough through their praise again. God, let it be like a fire that shut up in their bones. Let it be, God, something that they can't contain within them. Lord, show her, God, the godly influence through her praise. Let her see, Lord, that she has power through her dance. She has power through her shout. She has power through her worship. Let her have it again, Lord. Let her have it again, Lord. Touch them right now, God. Touch this family. Come on, I need some men and women right now to gather around this family. Come on, at an enemy that is trying to come against them and play in tug of war with them. It's time no more. It's time to cut the rope from the enemy's hands and find your victory again. Come on, brother. Tell them, say, get your hands off my family. Stay out of my house. Stay out of my life. Whatever you have, take your hands off of it. It don't belong to you anymore. It's mine, thus saith the Lord. I won't stop digging these ditches. I won't stop. Come on. Devil, you're a liar. I can shout. I can dance. I can twirl for the Lord. I will make a joyful noise. I will not stay silent. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Come on. It's okay. It's not being a fool. It's not being a fool. You don't look ridiculous. Oh, God says it's beautiful. God says it's beautiful. Break it in the name of Jesus. Come on! Where is the breakthrough? Breakthrough! Where's the breakthrough? Come on! It's not saying you're going to hell. It's not saying you're sinning. It's finding the deliverance from to something. Come on, I believe right now. I'm feeling it in the Holy Ghost. Sister Cowan, come on up here. I want you to lay hands on this young woman. Oh, it's time for some things to break. I felt it right there. Oh, I've got to dig even if I don't like it right now. It don't feel good. But I got, there you go. I've got to dig anyway. I've got to forgive. I've got to let go. Come on, let God do a new thing in that ditch. You got to learn to dance through the bitterness. You got to learn to shout through that pain. Come on, my marriage don't have to be like this anymore. My life don't have to be like this when I walk into the house of the Lord anymore. I can be free. I can shout through it. I can dance in the dusty places again. That's it. Come on, walk in it. Get my brother. Get my brother. Yes, yes. Come on, that's it. Come on, you're pacing around that ditch. It's time to start dancing around it. Whatever it takes, God, for my family to be saved. Whatever it takes, God, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to forgive. I'm willing to let go. Oh, but Pastor, I'm tired. Just dig one more hole. Just dig one more ditch and watch what the Lord will do. He'll fill it. He'll fill it. He'll fill it. Yes! Brother Joshua. It ain't no secret the battles you've had to fight. Right? Everybody knows, right? Things that you've had to fight. God's allowed you to forgive. But you know what you've still been robbed of that you need to take possession back of? Is your joy. You have a heart of worship, and God sees that. But now it's time to find your joy back. Now it's time to take dominion of your joy, brother. It's time to find the joy of the Lord again. Devil, whatever you've taken from him, he's going to keep digging ditches to let joy unspeakable and full of glory be filled back up. You can't have it. It don't belong to you. Thus saith the Lord, he's ready for his joy again. Real joy, real happiness, real peace again. He had a most.